Our subject for this evening is living the good life. And who among us does not want to live the good life? But unfortunately, many of us, we badly define what a good life is. And this evening, from the Word of God, I hope to point out to you very clearly what living the good life is. While I'm speaking, I'd like you to do two things for me. One, pray while I speak. Don't pray out loud, just pray in your heart and say, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. It is very important that you pray that prayer. And it is based on Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9, which says, Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. My words have no power. They cannot bless you, but they may hurt you. So you must pray that the words coming out of my mouth are God's words. And the second favor I want you to do, I want you to think. The religion of Christ is a thinking religion. That's why the Bible says, Come now and let us reason together. In Mark chapter 12, verse 28, the Bible says, And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, he heard Christ reasoning with those who were listening. So the religion of Christ is one that appeals to a reasonable mind. So please tonight, I want you to think. Our subject again, living the good life. Before I begin, let me offer a word of prayer. Loving Father in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I ask you, dear God, to help me as I try to lift you up, as I try to lift up the truth. And because the truth cannot be separated from your glory, by lifting up the truth, I lift you up. So help me to do that, dear God, as I humble myself before you. Let your Spirit take these words of mine and make them understandable to your sons and daughters who have gathered in your presence. I offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Go with me to Matthew chapter 4. We shall begin reading at verse 1. Matthew chapter 4, reading at verse 1. If you do not have a Bible and you're seated next to a Christian who has one, I believe it will be safe for you to move over to that person and read along with her or with him. Matthew chapter 4, we are reading from verse 1, and our subject is living the good life. The Bible says, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. My first question for you tonight is simply this. What did Jesus mean by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? We tend to read the Bible rather casually and on the surface. But the Bible has many treasures of truth waiting to be discovered for those of us who will read beneath the surface. And that's another way of saying those of us who will dig into God's Word. What did Jesus mean when he said, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? In a very real sense, Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 2 constitutes the Word of God. There is a belief among some theologians, and it goes like this. The Bible contains the Word of God. That is a cleverly expressed deception. The Bible, yes, contains the Word of God in a sense, but we must go further than that. The Bible not simply contains the Word of God, the Bible is the Word of God. Is that clear? If you say the Bible contains the Word of God, someone may reasonably ask, where? Is it in Matthew, 2 Chronicles, or in Luke? But when you say the Bible is the Word of God, then you realize that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so when Jesus said, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, At a certain level, that includes Genesis to Revelation. But is it possible that Christ had something more specific in mind? Is it possible? And as I present the evidence to you tonight, I believe you will realize that Christ did indeed have something more specific in mind when he said in Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." As we begin to uncover what Christ meant, let us examine instances in the Bible where words proceeded right out of the mouth of God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. We shall read verses 16 and 17. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And our subject is living the good life. Matthew chapter 3, reading from verse 16, the Bible says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now here is an example of words proceeding right out of the mouth of God. But were these the words that Jesus had in mind when he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God"? These words that were spoken at the baptismal site of Jesus Christ, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Is this a prescription for daily living? It is simply the Father expressing how he felt about his Son on the occasion of his public anointing as he prepared to embark upon his public ministry. So there is no evidence that this is what Christ was referring to. Let us look at another occasion when words came right out of the mouth of God. Stay in the book of Matthew. Let's go to chapter 17. We shall read verse 5. Matthew 17, verse 5. This is the chapter where Matthew records the transfiguration of Jesus Christ on that mountain in the presence of Peter, James, and John, and also Moses and Elias, who appeared on that mount talking with Christ. In verse 4, Peter suggests that they build three tabernacles, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Verse 5 tells us, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." This was the voice of God, words proceeding right out of his mouth. But he only spoke to Peter, James, and John. Of course, Moses overheard what he said, Elias heard, and Jesus heard, but he spoke particularly to Peter, James, and John. Moses was already in heaven, Elijah was already in heaven, so the advice or the counsel, "Hear ye him," applied specifically to Peter, James, and John. While we should all hear the voice of Jesus Christ, on that occasion, God the Father spoke to three men. So we cannot assume that these words that proceeded right out of the mouth of God are the words that Jesus had in mind when he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Let us look at another occasion where words came right out of the mouth of God. John chapter 12, we shall read from verse 27. Our subject is living the good life. And the reason why it is entitled Living the Good Life is based on Matthew 4 verse 4, where Jesus says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." Then how should man live? Man should live by every word. So to live the good life is to live by every word. And we're trying to understand what precisely Jesus meant. John chapter 12, reading from verse 27, the Bible says, and this is Jesus Christ speaking, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Here we have God the Father on the third occasion uttering words directly from his mouth. The Bible says, "The people therefore that stood by and heard it said, it thundered. Others said, an angel spake." They mistook the voice of God. One group thought it was thunder. One group thought it was an angel. Jesus recognized the voice of his Father. And the Father said, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Now, I ask the question, could these possibly be the words that Jesus had in mind when he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God"? And there is no evidence in the expression that this is what Christ was referring to, because nothing in the words calls upon us to live a certain way of life. So we have looked at God speaking at the baptism of Jesus Christ. We have looked at God speaking on the Transfiguration, the Mount of Transfiguration. We've looked at God speaking on the occasion when Jesus said, "Father, glorify thy name." And none of them presents itself as the words that Christ had in mind when he said, "We shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." But before we go any further, I want us to pause and consider this. Listen again to what Jesus said. Listen very carefully. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word." Let me tell you something about the word, word, as it is sometimes used in the Bible. If I were to ask you to give me an example of a word, you would probably say, church, that's a word. Preacher, that's a word. Light, that's a word. Money, that's a word. You would give me one word responses. But is it possible that in the Bible, sometimes the word, word, refers to a statement? And not just to one word. Let us go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, we shall read from verse 13. We were in John, the next book is Acts, then Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, then Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, we're reading from verse 13, and we'll read down to verse 14. Do you have Galatians 5? If you do, say amen. All right, I hear some pages, so some of you are still looking for Galatians 5. Let's read from verse 13. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love do what? Serve one another." Now, listen to verse 14. "For all the law is fulfilled in" what? One word. Let's pause. All the law is fulfilled in one word. And what is that word? "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." How many words did I count? Seven. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, refers to seven words as one word. Listen to the words again. Galatians 5:14. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word. And that one word is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll read from verse 26. And Paul is referring to Christ when he says in Hebrews 12:26, "Whose voice then shook the earth," referring to Christ speaking the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, because it was Christ who spoke for his Father. But the voice of Christ is the voice of God. Do you have Hebrews chapter 12? We read from verse 26, the Bible says, "Whose voice then shook the earth? But now hath he promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." Let's review that verse again. "But now hath he promised, saying," and what is it he said? "Yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." How many words are those? About 12. You can check and let me know if I'm right or wrong. Listen to the verse. "Yet hath he promising, but now hath he promising, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." How many words do you count? 12. All right. 12, 11, 10. Statistically the same thing. All right. Now let's go to verse 27. And this what? Word. Yet once more. Now Paul does not repeat all 12 words in verse 26. He just uses the first three. Yet once more. He does not repeat the entire thing. But we have to understand he is simply saying, and this word. What word? The 12 words that constituted the expression in verse 26. Let me go over that again in case I have lost any of you. In verse 26 of Hebrews 12, the Apostle Paul, whom we believe wrote Hebrews, says, but now hath he promised, saying. Now, I want you to read with me, what did he say? Read it out loud. Verse 26. Yet, come on, read with me if you have the King James Version, that is. I don't want a babel of noise. Let's all read the same version. Read with me now. Yet, once more, I shake, go on, not the earth only, but also heaven. Now, all of those words Paul refers to in verse 27 as this word. What I'm trying to say to you, my brothers and sisters, sometimes in the Bible, the word refers to a statement. Now, having said that, and having seen the biblical evidence, listen again to the words of Jesus Christ. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Let me go back to this issue of proceeding out of the mouth of God. Again, I say, in a certain sense, the entire Bible proceeded out of God's mouth, in a certain sense, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit working on the minds of those whom God chose to write His sacred words. In another sense, not all the words proceeded right out of God's mouth. For instance, all the laws, the statutes, the judgments, the precepts that we find throughout the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, they were given to Moses, and then Moses wrote them down. Are you with me? Moses wrote them down. So God gave them to us through an intermediary. Most of the Bible is like that. God spoke to a man through the Spirit. The man had to use his mental abilities, and he wrote according to his gifts, his talents. By the way, the Greek in the writings of the epistles of Paul is more sophisticated than the Greek in the writings of Peter, because Peter did not have the education that Paul had. So God did not ignore the fact that Peter was not as educated as Paul. God used Peter as much as he could. He used Paul as much as he could. But the writing of Paul is at a higher level grammatically and stylistically than the writing of Peter, because they had two different levels of education. But there are some expressions in the Bible that came directly from God. And we saw them at the baptism of Jesus Christ. God spoke directly. The Mount of Transfiguration, God spoke directly. When Jesus said, glorify thy name in John 12:28, God spoke directly. Then what we should be looking for as we try to uncover what precisely Jesus referred to when he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What we should look for, it seems, are words that came right from God's mouth without going through anyone. Let's take a look at the verse Christ used in defending himself against the first temptation, and the second temptation, and the third. All the verses Jesus used. For the second temptation, he said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And for the third temptation, he said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, all three of those responses came from the book of Deuteronomy. All three. Having said that, let's take a look at Deuteronomy on a broad scale. We're looking at Deuteronomy on a broad scale as we try to answer the question, what did Jesus mean? As precisely as we can determine, by man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. What did he mean by every word? And our subject is, for those of you coming in, living the good life. The book of Deuteronomy records the final words of Moses at the end of 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Those of you who have children in college, remember the first time they left home for college? You gave them a speech. Remember this, remember that, don't do that, don't embarrass me by failing all your courses. Remember the speeches you gave them. Remember how your father and I tried to raise you. Remember the values we tried to nail through your skull. You remember those speeches you gave your children. This is what is happening in the book of Deuteronomy. Moses is reminding the Israelites of all the counsel God gave them over 40 years and what God expected, how they disappointed God. He is preparing them to cross into the promised land and to live up to God's expectations. That's what it's all about. Now, the book, according to the International Standard Biblical Encyclopedia, the book is divided into three main discourses or speeches. Now, you may write these down because I will quiz you in the process of the message. The first division or discourse or speech goes from chapter 1, verse 1, to chapter 4, verse 43. Chapter 1, verse 1, to chapter 4, verse 43. That's the first major discourse or division or section of the book of Deuteronomy. And in that section, Moses goes over all the incidents in the life of the Israelites, in the lives of the Israelites, when God delivered them from danger, where they were delivered, the time they were delivered. He just briefly reviews God's history with them, and he encourages them to avoid idolatry and to be faithful to God. The second section, or discourse, goes from chapter 4, verse 44, to chapter 26, verse 19. That is a long section. From chapter 4, verse 44, to chapter 26, verse 19. And that large section is essentially focusing on moral and civil statutes or laws. The third division goes from chapter 27, verse 1, to chapter 31, verse 30. That section deals with the blessings of obedience and the curses of disobedience. Essentially, that is the heart and soul of that section. And then chapter 32 is the song of Moses. Chapter 33, Moses blessing the tribes. And chapter 34 records the death of Moses. Now let's go over those divisions again, those of you who wrote them down. Division 1 begins chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 4, verse 43. And that covers the history of God's dealing with his people, how he delivered them, the places where the deliverances occurred, the times, the events. And Moses calls upon them to obey God, be faithful, and avoid idolatry. The second section goes from chapter 4, verse 44, to chapter 26, verse 19. And that may be condensed under this heading, moral and civil statutes or laws. The third section goes from chapter 27, verse 1, to chapter 31, verse 30, and that essentially deals with the blessings of obedience and the curses of disobedience. And chapter 32 is the song of Moses, chapter 33, Moses blessing the tribes, and chapter 34, the death of Moses. Now, having those three major sections, let's look at the biggest of the three sections, which goes from chapter 4, verse 44, to chapter 26, verse 19. Follow me closely. Our subject is living the good life. We're trying to find out what Jesus meant when he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. What did he mean by every word? Let's look at the second section of Deuteronomy, which is the largest of the three. That section can be subdivided into two smaller sections. Chapter 5 to 11 and 12 to 26. Let me say that again. The second division of Deuteronomy, which is the largest of the three, may be subdivided into two smaller sections, chapter 5 through 11 and 12 through 26. Let me deal with 12 through 26. That section deals with the laws of purity, worship, tithe, priests, kings, the laws of administration, the laws governing how to carry out a war, the laws governing the private and the public lives of the Israelites. Remember, I told you that big section covers moral and civil statutes. The smallest subsection, chapter 5 to 11, and I pause to ensure you're listening. That smaller section deals exclusively with the Ten Commandments. Chapter 5 through 11 of Deuteronomy, which is a subsection of the larger section, verse 444 to chapter 26, verse 19. I say again, that smaller subsection, chapter 5 through 11, deals exclusively with the Ten Commandments. Now, why did I go through all that? Because all three of Christ's responses when he was tempted came from that section. Are you following me? If you're following me, say amen. Amen. Let me say it again. Every response that Jesus Christ gave to Satan came from the section of Deuteronomy that deals exclusively with the Ten Commandments, chapters 5 through 11. Now, the first response Jesus Christ gave, which we've read so many times tonight, we'll read again. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That comes in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. For the second temptation, Jesus says, it is written, ye shall not tempt the Lord thy God. That comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. The third response, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. But I want us to focus on the first response, which is the burden of this message. Let's go to where that is found, Deuteronomy chapter 8. We'll read from verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 8, we'll read from verse 1. Deuteronomy is book number 5, and we believe Moses wrote the first 5 books, excluding the section that, of course, deals with his funeral and death. Deuteronomy chapter 8, reading from verse 1, the Bible says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart. Finish that verse for me. Whether, come on, read it. Whether thou wouldst keep what? His commandments or no. Now, there was a reason why God led the Israelites through the wilderness. There was a reason why he subjected them to hunger and various other hardships. He wanted them to know, even though the verse says that he wants to know. But God does not need to know anything. God knows everything. Listen to the words again of Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart. Now this expression, to know, cannot apply to God, because God knows everything. Hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. Job chapter 26, verse 6. Hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. Nothing can hide from God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him we have to do. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more then the hearts of the children of men? Proverbs 15, verse 11. In other words, God knows everything in the heart. So God does not need to find out anything. Are you with me? Proverbs 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Revelation 2, 23. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the heart. So when the Bible says, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, we need to understand it was not God who needed to know what was in their heart. It was they who needed to know, because we do not know the depth of our wickedness. We just don't. What does the Bible say? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Finish that verse for me. Who can know it? We don't. We don't even know our true motives that undergird many of our actions. Even though we're told by Ellen White in Christ's Object Lessons, page 316, paragraph 2, every act is judged by the motive. That's why it is the Word of God that is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, because we don't know. So God does not need to know. So listen to the verse again. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart. We must read that to let you know what was in your heart. And what did God want them to know? Whether they would keep his commandments or no. That was the reason. Now, Moses is saying that after 40 years. But let's go to the beginning of the 40-year period when God said that. Exodus 16, let's read from verse 2. Exodus 16, reading from verse 2. Our subject is living the good life. Do you have Exodus chapter 16? Reading from verse 2, the Bible says, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And all the people said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. Finish that verse for me. That I may what? Prove them what? Whether they will walk in my law or no. So this is what Moses is repeating 40 years after. God's intention has not changed. For 40 years, he's been trying to get them to see the condition of their heart. And what heart did he want from them? An obedient heart. He was not trying to find out anything else. Did you hear what I just said? He was not trying to find out or reveal to them anything else more central and significant and important than whether they had a heart to obey him. And that has not changed. God's most important desire of you and me is that we have a heart to obey him. Now listen to verse 3 of Deuteronomy 8. Let's leave Exodus and run back to Deuteronomy 8. Our subject is living the good life. The Bible says, and he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know what? That man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. Now, look at verse 2 and look at verse 3. What is God desirous that they should know? Whether they would do what? Walk, they would keep my commandments or no. Look at what verse 3 says, that ye might make thee know, man doth not live by bread alone. The question is, did God want them to know two things? No. Whether they would keep his commandments or no, in verse 2, is the same thing as living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is the same thing expressed differently. Now let's go back to every word. We have every word in verse 3, which is what Jesus used. Go with me to John. Let's see the connection between word and commandment. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Let's read verse 15. It's a very familiar verse, John 14, reading verse 15, the Bible says, and this is Jesus Christ speaking. What does that verse say? If ye love me, keep my commandments. Let's go down to verse 21. He that hath my commandments, let's read the red letters, the words of Christ. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Now, Jesus says in verse 21 of John chapter 14, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. By the way, most people have the commandments. Very few people keep them. And that applies to our church. Local and worldwide. Let me say it again with respect. But a preacher must be respectful, but his respectfulness must not blunt his boldness. Most of us, we have the commandments of God. All of us have them. Most of us do not keep them. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Now, go down to verse 23. Let's read the red letters. If a man, what? Love me. Well, this is obvious because in verse 15 he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. In verse 21 he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Now Christ is reasoning, if a man love me, he will do what? Keep my what? Yes, sister, you're way ahead of all of us. What word does he use in verse 21? He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. But what does he say in verse 23? If a man love me, he will keep what? Then what's the relationship between words and commandment in that expression? Ah, you're bright people, and I'm very encouraged to see that. They are the same thing. But because some of you look as if you don't believe the preacher, let's go to 1 John chapter 2 quickly because time is running out. 1 John chapter 2, we'll read verse 3 and verse 4. Well, verse 4 and verse 5 of 1 John chapter 2. It's at the back of the Bible, find Revelation, then Jude, 3 John, 2 John, 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, reading verses 4 and 5. Now, keeping in mind what you've just heard, read these words carefully. Read with me. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not what? His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. We have the word commandments in verse 4. Now read verse 5. Read with me. I've asked you to read. You're not reading. Read nice and loud. But whoso keepeth his what? Say that again. Whoso keepeth his what? His word. What is word in verse 5 referring to? Commandments in verse 4. Is that clear? If we read the Bible and we reason honestly, God will reveal truth to us. Sometimes in the Bible, word refers to a statement, and more specifically, to the commandments of God. Now, listen to the words of Christ again. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every commandment that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now somebody say amen. What Jesus Christ is telling us about living the good life, the only way to live a good life is to live a life in conformity with God's law by the sustaining power of Jesus Christ. Let's get some help from Ellen White. Spiritual Gifts, Volume 4A, page 150, paragraph 1. She repeats the words of the Bible and she says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then she says, Christ refers to his Father's law. The words spoken at Sinai are the conditions of life. Now, why did I begin this series with this message? You see, someone listening to this message may be tempted to say, that's legalism. Well, then you have to accuse Christ of legalism, not me. Because Jesus, that God of love, that man of love, it was he who said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And we have seen reasonable evidence that what he meant by every word was every commandment that came out of the mouth of his Father. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 20. We read from verse 1. Exodus 20, reading from verse 1. You have that? It's a familiar passage. The Bible says, "And God spake all these words, saying," let's read those words again. "And God did what? He spake," something came out of his mouth, "all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." These are words that proceeded right out of the mouth of God. And we read in Hebrews 12:26, where Paul says, "Whose voice then shook the earth when the commandments were spoken from Sinai." The Bible says the entire earth shook. There is no biblical evidence. The entire earth shook when God spoke at the baptism of Christ, when he spoke on the Mount of Transfiguration, when he spoke in John chapter 12, verse 28, when he spoke to John in the book of Revelation. But we're told in the Bible that when he spoke from Sinai, the whole world shook, because what he spoke was for the entire world. And so for the 100th time tonight, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And how can we correctly read those words? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every commandment that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so I ask you the question tonight. You need not answer me, because I'm not God. Are we living by every commandment that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? You cannot live by 9. Now, living by 9 may have benefits at a secular level. If there's a man living next to me who only breaks the 4th commandment, but he keeps the one that says, "Thou shalt not kill," I am very pleased. Are you with me? I am very delighted. He keeps the one that says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," I am pleased, because I have a pretty wife. Are you with me? But that will not save him. I'm not saying that law keeping saves you. I am simply saying that the life God requires is a life in conformity with his law. God's Amazing Grace, page 20, paragraph 5. Ellen White writes these words: "In the new birth, the heart is brought into harmony with God as it is brought into accord with his great law." Meaning, the only way to be right with God is to be right with his law. And so Jesus says to Westminster Seventh-day Adventist Church, and to everyone listening to this program, it is written. It is not guessed, or it is suggested. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. He did not say man shall not live by bread at all, for those of you who are waiting to get home to eat. He simply said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, every commandment that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How many of you will say with me tonight, "Lord, give me the abiding power of the Holy Spirit of Christ, that I may live by every commandment that proceeds out of the mouth of God"? Can I see your hand? Hands down, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the words of Jesus Christ, when he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." By using the word man, he was including himself. That was how he lived, and that's the lifestyle he recommends for all of humanity. This day, God, is living the good life. Give us a heart to obey you out of love, not force. Because, Father, the world you're preparing for us is a world where all will obey you from the heart. So grant us that heart, I pray. Bless us tonight, I ask, dear God, and save us when you come. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.